Hi there. This is Michael Lowry, pastor of East Congregational United Church of Christ in Concord, New Hampshire. And this is the Love to Tell the Story podcast. Well, one thing that the gospel story makes very clear to us is that speaking with authority and always in love, Jesus brings us truth. Continuing in our series of messages all about Jesus' many epiphanies to you and me, here's today's message. It's entitled, I Bring You Truth. It's based on Mark 1, verses 21 through 39, and it starts out with a story about a past parishioner's opinion about preachers. I remember the conversation as though it were yesterday. I'd actually been speaking with one of the elder members of the congregation that I'd actually just begun serving as a young pastor. I'm not sure I even remember exactly what it was we were talking about, but I do recall that somewhere in the midst of our conversation, this woman said this to me, very suddenly and quite emphatically, in fact. You know what the trouble is with you ministers? Now, let me just say here that in the history of the world, nothing good has ever come from a question like that. But I nodded, waiting for her to go on, and she did. The trouble with you preachers is that you only see things in terms of black and white. Now, friends, as I recall, at the time, I was actually quite offended by that statement. I mean, this woman, she didn't even know me yet. I mean, how could she possibly think of me, sweet, gentle, unassuming me, as one of those preachers? You know the kind. The Bible-thumping, finger-whacking, hellfire and brimstone, my way or the highway, repent, all ye sinners, kind of preacher? No, not me. In those days, I kind of prided myself on being the quintessential peace, love, and understanding kind of guy. And besides, I was ordained as a congregational UCC pastor, and it should have summed that up right there. But apparently, this woman saw things differently. So I'm thinking to myself, this lady's got it all wrong. And I need to get ready here for some deep theological and corrective reflection. But then the woman finished her thought. The trouble with you preachers, she said, is that you only see things in terms of black and white. And there's a whole lot of gray area out there that we Christians need to deal with. In short, it was another humbling moment for this greenhorn preacher. And of course, she was right. There is a whole lot of gray area we Christians have to navigate in this life. And yes, sometimes, not always, mind you, but sometimes, we preachers err on the side of a quick and easy faith-based answer to complicated issues of life and living. The truth is, friends, is that faith is a journey. It's an ongoing journey. It's not a destination, and it requires from each and every one of us an ongoing and prayerful reflection as to the ways that our faith in God fits into the contours of an ever-changing world, as well as what that faith means amidst the shifting sands of each of our lives. All too often, you see, the answers we seek as to what it means to believe in times such as these ends up for us feeling all the world like it's mired in shades of gray, rather than it being a definitive black and white. But then again, that's kind of the nature of life, isn't it? And as that woman was quick to point out, no mere preacher can change that. And I get it. I got it then, and I get it now. But all that said, may I confess something to you this morning? I don't know about you. Maybe the same is true for you. But over the years, I've come to understand that for me, I really need the black and white. In fact, the older I get, the more it seems like there are far too many gray areas in life. And truth be told, I have discovered this about myself. I'm not a real fan of gray areas. When it comes to life, you see, and most especially when it comes to my faith, I want black and white. I want to know what I'm supposed to do. I want to know the way I'm supposed to go. I want someone in my life who can help me to discern with simplicity and with clarity, as the Apostle Paul put it in the book of Romans, the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What I really need, you see, and I would dare say what we all really need in this world full of gray areas, is an epiphany. But an epiphany from someone who brings us truth. Someone who speaks to us and who teaches us with authority. Someone like Jesus. It is striking to me, you know, that in our text for this morning, the one that Kay just shared with us, we hear not once but twice that the reaction to Jesus early on in his ministry turns out to be one of utter astonishment. The first reaction we read about today comes from the people at the temple in Capernaum. They are quick to notice that Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And what that means is that whereas the scribes taught in strict adherence to the law and temple tradition, Jesus seemed to be speaking on the direct authority of God. And then later on, we hear it again. And this happens after Jesus shows forth his power by calling out an unclean spirit from a man in the synagogue. And when this happens, and it's quite a dramatic scene, actually, the people are there watching, and they kept on asking one another, what is this? A new teaching with authority. There's that word again, authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. It's worth pointing out here that in both instances, the Greek word that Mark uses for authority is ekousia. And that also translates to free, as in freedom, permitted, as in permission. So what this tells us is that from the very start of his ministry, Jesus' teaching, his deeds of power, speak of something brand new, something that was to go well beyond what was expected, what was traditional, what was required. At our weekly Bible study lunches, which happen every Wednesday at noon, just saying, you can always come. At those Bible studies, as of late, we have been reviewing Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from Matthew. And I'm finding it very interesting that we see the same thing happening there. That is, Jesus taking the tradition of the law, that which everybody was familiar with, that which everybody kind of followed without questioning it, and then he takes it one step further, two steps further. For instance, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for all those who persecute you. Trust me, that's just the beginning. In all these little sections of the Sermon on the Mount, we see this happening again and again. And what we have discovered in looking through these very familiar teachings of Jesus is not only that a whole lot of what Jesus adds to the law ends up being very unexpected in nature, but also it's a little more than unsettling at times. Because it tends to require more of us than we originally thought. In other words, There ain't a lot of gray area in what Jesus has to say here. But isn't it interesting? At the end of three chapters worth of teaching in that Sermon on the Mount, Matthew makes a point of adding this, that the crowds were astounded at his teaching because he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. So it is in Matthew, and so it is in the first chapter of Mark. We find out almost immediately that Jesus is more than just another teacher. To quote Stephen Holdgren, what Jesus teaches here is new. And by the way, in the Greek, that is a word called kein. Unlike the scribes who basically teach the same old stuff, Jesus brings black and white truth, even at times an inconvenient truth, to all those who would have ears to hear and eyes to see. And as we see going on in our text today with the healing of Simon's mother-in-law and so many others that night at Simon's house, Jesus' divine authority to teach is attested by his deeds of power. I'll say it again. In this world that's so full of gray areas and confusing and sometimes even crippling uncertainties in life, in a time when on any given day it's difficult, if not downright impossible, to know what and who to believe, what we all really need is the epiphany of one who brings us truth. Truth that is clear and unalloyed. We need the revelation of Jesus, who speaks and acts with authority, and lest we forget, ever and always in love. Because you see, at the heart of Jesus' authority, the very authority that we seek to give clarity and purpose for the way, it's love. It's love at the heart of it all. Now, we do actually see this very clearly in the reading today, which, as Kay mentioned, follows the calling of the first disciples and actually combines a couple of readings in the lectionary. We find out that the same Jesus who boldly rebukes the unclean spirit at the synagogue, very shortly thereafter, sits at the bedside of Simon's mother-in-law. And it's a brief but very beautiful scene. He lovingly takes her by the hand. He lifts her up, or raises her up, as we hear in some translation, and he heals her fever right there on the spot. Oh, and by the way, this all happens so quickly and completely that Mark makes the rather interesting point that almost immediately, mom-in-law gets up to make a meal and serve everybody in the place. Okay. But that little addendum aside, theologian and author, the Reverend Nanette Sawyer, writes that this story ends up symbolizing the perpetual presence of God through Jesus Christ in our lives. This is a story about healing. But, says Sawyer, it's a story of healing all kinds of brokenness, including a grief-stricken and broken heart. She goes on in this article, which I think was from the Christian Century, that she tells a story of a time in her own life when she was in the midst of heartbreak, and that when she literally felt the presence of the Lord in her midst while she was in the midst of this grieving. She said, "It felt like a tower of warmth rising up beside me, a comforting presence that shifted my perspective. And it helped me to remember that I was not as alone as I had felt in that moment." Metaphorically, at least, Sawyer goes on to say, "Jesus took me by the hand and raised me up. He raised up my spirits and he gave me a glimpse of a future filled with hope," which began the healing of her own heart. It was truly an experience of truth, she said, manifest in love and in healing. It was the good news of Jesus Christ unto her and unto each and every one. I remember another conversation with another parishioner, actually from that same congregation years ago, in which in that conversation, he shared with me his own story of growing up in the church as a preacher's kid, a.k.a. a PK. That is one of many children in a very conservative and a very fundamentalist church pastor. It was for him, as you might imagine, an extremely strict upbringing. And I remember asking him at the time if he'd ever felt like this had been a negative aspect in his life. And he answered, oh, no, not at all. And he went on to say that actually it was an easy way to grow up because there were no gray areas, he said. That from an early age, he knew exactly what he could do and what he couldn't do. He knew what was expected of him as he was growing up. And he knew the consequences if he didn't follow that way. And there was, he said, much comfort in that. But then he said this, it was when I grew up, when I went out on my own, when I started exploring my own faith, that's when it got hard. Because then, he said, I had to figure out for myself what Jesus was talking about with all those things I was taught as a child. And I remember this very clearly as well. When he said, and it was the beginning of a long journey, and I'm still on the pathway. That's, I think, the important thing for us to remember as we consider this epiphany that Jesus brings to us in his authority. That it's not always easy for us to discern that truth that he brings to us, which I know brings us back to those pesky gray areas all over again. But I would suggest to you that it's different this time. Because rather than leaving us mired all alone in those uncertainties, in those contradictions and those confusing situations, we are there with Jesus, and Jesus chooses to take us by the hand, and with love and with caring, he walks with us in the process of discernment and helps us to figure it all out, to seek out that well-lit pathway and know which way to go. And in that regard, I can tell you from experience that there are times in this life when the truth of a given situation is right there, staring you right in the face, but you still don't see it. You don't hear the truth. Maybe you want to ignore the truth. Maybe you just simply prefer not to see it. But here in that is the good news of Jesus. The good news of his presence and his power and his authority. That in infinite love, he stays with you in every moment of discernment and beyond. As the song goes, he walks with you and he talks with you and he tells you that you are his own. And he'll be there until finally the truth is revealed and we discover which way to go. This, beloved, is the astounding truth that is brought to us in Jesus Christ day by day by day, year after passing year, generation after generation. This is what Jesus brings to us in ways that are eternal and timeless, and yet in ways that so often end up being fresh and revelatory and brand new. Who knows? Maybe there's some truth to be discovered right here today. Maybe there's something to discern at this table that's set before us. Maybe there's something truthful for each one of us in the broken bread and the shared cup. I pray that it might be so. And as it happens for us, that our thanks be unto God. Amen and amen.
And that's the message entitled, I Bring You Truth, part of our current sermon series all about Epiphanies. This message was recorded during our February the 4th service of worship at East Congregational Church, where we would love to have you join us in person for worship. We come together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the church on 51 Mountain Road, which is just off exit 16 of I-93 in beautiful Concord, New Hampshire. It's a great way to spend a Sunday morning, and I would love the chance to welcome you in person. But for now, that's it for this episode of the Love to Tell the Story podcast. I do thank you for listening today. And until next time, may God bless you with a great day every day. We'll talk to you soon.